Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block. You know what? I haven't said that in a while. It's the first time that we've had two episodes. Let's do it again. It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30. And today we have four rounds in the magazine. Round number one. Of course, we're going to give you a little Afghanistan update. We're going to talk about everything from a cowardly former president fleeing in a helicopter full of cash with four cars. I don't know how they did that. See, this is the prime example of the Oxford comma is needed.
Oh, man. I love a good Oxford comma, and it's not used quite enough.
How do you leave in a helicopter full of cash and also four cars? They strap them to the bottom like it's a fucking monster truck rally that they're flying up from Afghanistan all the way to Dubai?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they were four long skinny cars that served as the propellers for the helicopter.
Or maybe it's like those little Shiner cars.
Shiner. He put on a little hat. Yeah.
That'd be cute. I mean, if they did that. Yeah. Speaking of, those motherfuckers in the Taliban, before we even really get going, one of the main viral pictures that they had was that little bumper car rally spot that they were all goofing, doing. Do you know the next day they burned that motherfucker down? They burned the entire amusement park down.
See, that should tell you all you need to know right there about the Taliban and how terrible they are.
You know what? That's just basically like the Taliban is essentially like 05s, like where it's good for me, not for thee. That's what's going on with the old Taliban. They'll have a good time and then burn that motherfucker down. Round number two, a Haitian American soldier who once went viral at West Point is back in the spotlight and for a good reason. I tell you, I first saw that story. I think it was
2016
Wednesday. I mean, like the new update to
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And after everything that we've been reading and going through all the comments and hearing personal stories about Afghanistan, this was the pick me up I needed. Mm-hmm. It was like, there we go. Like there was a couple stories that came out this week that was like, yes, we are actually good. We're still good.
We still got something left in the tank.
Yeah. We're going to be okay. Round number three, a victory. For PETA, Cobra Blood is now off the menu for Marines training in Operation Cobra Gold. That's sad. Round number four, we have a new segment that we're going to try out. It's a Vet Bro Hardo Roundup. And nothing like our comment section will get that going. We pit two annoying groups against each other to decide who is more annoying based off the comment section. This week, we're going to have Kuwait is not a deployment versus the dreaded ponytails in the military. It's a tour de force, a heavyweight battle here in the Vet Bro comments of the week. It's going to be an enjoyable time, and all of it's going to be brought to you by our good friends at Manscaped. Today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in the below-the-waist grooming. It's back to school, so if you're coming back from a deployment and you want to stop off in Germany and Ramstein, luckily, in your little backpack that you can have, you're going to pull out your Manscaped Package 4.0, the Lawnmower 4.0. It's going to teach you a lesson on male hygiene. They're going to have the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, a weed whacker ear nose trimmer, and crop preserver ball deodorant. Because let's be honest, fellas and ladies, when you're coming home from a deployment, nothing stinks like them flaps or them balls. It is just a smelly, smelly situation.
Humid.
Do you guys remember when you came back from a deployment or even like a long field op will do it and you put your big bag, your like rucksack or whatever into the laundry room or into your room and you leave it, you go out to dinner or something. And then you come back and you open it up. And even though you've only been away from it for like an hour or 2 hours, it has gone from the system. And then you come back and you're like, mother of Christ.
Yeah. Well, people always talk about people banging on deployments and I'm sure there's plenty of that here and there. Man, oh man, when you're only using baby wipe showers every week or so, I don't want any of that smoke, my friends. No, thank you.
You know, because the NHL is doing it now and the NBA does it where you do patches on the uniforms for each team where they can sell it.
Yes.
The military should do that to like have certain brands. Dude Wipes should sponsor fucking like the Army or the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then who's getting that money? They're just paying the DOD because the DOD is hurting for cash.
Well, I mean, Gillette and all those razor companies make huge money from the military. Like, it's Pine Sol too, because if you buy it from the military, it's like $7 for a can of $2 Pine Sol. But you don't have to spray Pine Sol on your balls. You can use the crop preserver 2.0 on your old balls, and they'll smell better than Pine Sol, and it won't burn. So the Lawnmower 4.0 has a strong motor. It has LEDs, so even if it's in the dark in the back of a C-17, you can still shave your pubes and let that fly around the old cabin. It's fine. They don't mind. We actually got clearance from that from Air Force Loadmasters. They're cool with that. Go to manscaped.com with the promo code zero. You're going to get 20% off, free shipping with the code zero at manscaped.com for a clean trinity of beyond your space balls. Well, thank you. I don't know what that's about, but I love it. All right, let's go into the actual stories of today. And I think that we owe everybody a thank you, because this is, we don't like to have super serious episodes, but I feel like sometimes it's important. And this was, this week definitely was one of those times. And not just like thank you for listening and sharing. Obviously, that any podcast is going to tell you thank you for sharing, but sharing your very personal stories. And it really felt like when we talked about, we wanted this show to be the online version of a VFW where everybody can sit together. It feels like that's exactly what the last episode was. And people were just sitting around like, yes, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. And it encapsulated a lot of the way that so many veteran and active duty members felt. And that felt good for us to be like in there with you guys and feel like we were there with you guys.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, I'm still completely consumed by it. It's all I can think about. It's all I can look at. It's all I can, but obviously this episode, you know, we're going to branch out and talk about some other things, which might be a welcome break for me in my mind. But I just had a couple quick updates. Chaps had interviewed a few episodes ago, the Marine Thomas Schumann. He was 3-5 Sangin Marine. He's still in.
Major.
And Camp Abate, and just does all sorts of really wonderful, just one of the most impressive Marines that if you listen to that episode, it blows you away. But he had come on the show to talk about his interpreter, Zach, who since like 2016 has been stuck in bureaucratic red tape trying to get, and he said, despite Congress people and media attention for years and years now, could not get him back to the States with his family. And the man has 4 young children, a wife. Anyway, the saga over the last week.
Adorable kids too.
Beautiful kids. And this was one of the images that stuck out in my mind, was the father in the crowd outside the airport with his children. And the look in his eyes is just, if you're a parent, if you have any empathy at all to put yourself in his shoes, it just hit me so hard.
It was dead eyes with a tinge of hope in the very back. Like where you could, like, I have one aspect of hope, and if this doesn't happen, all of it's gone.
And with his children. So that one, I kept refresh. What's happening with them now? What's happening with them now? They made 3 separate trips to the airport, which if you've been following the news, the Taliban have created, basically it's like a nightmare to try and even get there. 3 different times they made it. And then there's a photo where they're right outside the gate and they still can't get in. And you're like, oh my God, you're just hoping so hard for them. And refresh. What's happening now? Incredible work. They finally got wheels up. I don't know quite where they are now, but there's a photo of the whole family, Zach, his wife, the 4 kids with troops next to them. Saturdays are for the boys. Barstool
Flag. I mean, I haven't seen one of those in a while, and it made me so happy to see it. Like, oh, it's a little piece of us there too.
Yeah. But wheels up, they made it out of there. And it made me so many people, this was going viral. And there's, the thing is, there's thousands of other cases just like this, but just to see one and looking online, slowly but surely more people are getting their interpreters out. More people are. So that was a huge silver lining. I think so many
people
were
rooting. And the acts of bravery across bravery and almost like, I don't give a fuck what happens to me. This is the right thing to do. We're going to do it. That C-17 that had around 600 people loaded on the floor, sitting nut to butt down there, getting ready to get people out, where the C-17 wasn't supposed to have that many people. And the crew was like, we are going to load this thing down as many people as we could possibly get and get them out of here. And we don't care what the repercussions are. the Air Force Command, because they usually go by the book, and this is the way the military goes. You have certain guidelines. You better fucking follow those guidelines, and we don't care what else is going to happen. We're going to charge you if you don't do it. I mean, we had that with dogs. Like, there are certain things that you had to do with the dogs, and if you get caught doing it, you are going to be fucked, and this is what's going on with the C-17. Luckily, this chain of command sought outside their fucking brains and knew if they actually did charge this crew of the C-17, who really probably deserves a distinguished flying cross for every single one of the crew members, they were like, yeah, we're not going to charge these folks. Yeah. We can't do that.
Good on that crew for definitely making it a scenario where, listen, we'll do this now and deal with the consequences later, whatever they are. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission in this scenario. So I applaud them for that. I want to say thank you. Obviously, Chaps, you mentioned all the sharing, all the people who reached out and commented. We saw all of those and we appreciate that. But one point that you made, Chaps, that really stuck out to me was how, and I don't know that I actually really gave thought to it until you pointed it out, but how seemingly all the veterans and all the military members were in lockstep for the most part. Sure, we had the wackadoos who still wanted to do the finger pointing and yell at whose fault this is and this, that, and the other, and tell the other person why they're right and you're wrong. But more or less, everybody was in lockstep with how we felt about the scenario. So that was really, really refreshing to see. And then I just want to say thank you to our colleagues at Barstool. I think at Barstool, so often everybody's in their own lane doing their own thing, and everybody has their own shows to worry about and their own content to worry about. So you don't necessarily see a lot of cross promotion. I saw so many of our colleagues at Barstool sharing most recent episode. Yeah. So that was very nice to see them getting behind that. And a lot of them even made mention how, as we said, we don't necessarily need to always get serious on here, but when certain situations pop up, it's nice to have folks who can come at it from our vantage point. And I would just like to say to you, Chaps, and you, Kate, thank you for your honesty and your willingness to share your thoughts on last episode.
And I don't really care that they share, those assholes that are the rest of the Barstool folks. But I think it is a microcosm of what's going on in the country, where typically, like we talked about, people weren't paying attention. Now people are paying attention. Yes. And people want to help and people want the right thing to be done. And it doesn't matter what your political affiliation is. Everybody seemed to have dropped that in the last couple of days. Well, for the most part, you're still going to have right. Your absolute crazy people. But for the most part, it's like, let's do the right thing. Let's get as many people out. But we want to touch on some of the stories that came along the way. And one of these stories, and I'm not typically a mainstream media, like guy that bitches about the mainstream media, but I am going to right now, because the way that they are presenting a lot of this information about the Taliban, that the Taliban is saying that they're going to honor women and that they're going to give them more rights and they're going to recognize some of the things that they've gained over the last couple of years. If you're reporting on that and you're a part of the mainstream news, you're a fucking idiot.
Well, like, even the White House, Chaps, the White House was like,
they're idiots too.
They were like, the Taliban says they're going to allow safe passage to the airport. Everyone, it's fine. It's like, come on, get out of here. What
and like doing? All it's coming across all over the place. And then you hear actual stories, actual things. And it's so difficult because it is hard to share some of the images that are coming out, like from cell phone videos and things like that. And I truly believe that if we didn't have social media, none of this would be happening.
No, you're right.
There would be zero outcry from the public. Would be just like, oh, good, we're out of there. But now that even people that are living in Afghanistan and places like Kabul, they actually have cell phones and they're able to share these videos. So we're seeing these atrocities take place. And sometimes in this modern culture, we have to have that image to create a visceral reaction. I always go back to Ray Rice for an example of that.
Yes.
Ray Rice was going to get like a 2-game suspension for hitting his wife and while they were in the elevator. The video comes out. Next thing you know, he's out of the fucking league. The video creates a visceral reaction. When the Taliban is saying, and they've said multiple times, and I don't even really want to get into the actual article that I even put in our own prep sheet, they're saying we're going to do all these things. Next thing you know, videos are coming out where they're standing outside the lines just past the gates of the airport where people are trying to get in. They're beating people with chains while they're standing there. They're taking women and children away and they're beating them in the street. They're stoning folks. And people don't, they broadcast on the television stoning people to death. And if people don't have television, they bring microphones and put it down by their head so they can hear what the stones sound like just on the radio. Mm-hmm. These people are the lowest of the low. And the fact that we have some of the people still in our government, 27 different high-level national defense folks, they recently said this was the right decision and we think that the Taliban is going to stick to your word. This is why we're in the position that we're in. You're high level and you think that? Even General, the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff yesterday was like, no one could have expected this, that it would happen in 11 days.
Ask That's one so crazy. Corporal,
one specialist, one A1C, one fucking seaman apprentice. Anyone that's ever been on the ground in any combat zone in the last 20 years knows, without fail, when we leave, there will be a vacuum.
And the other part that really is disheartening about that statement is they kept saying, we thought of every scenario, every possible scenario. Well, then how come one of the possible scenarios wasn't just the utter chaos that ensued?
And that should have been the biggest one.
Right.
That should have been number one on the list.
First thing that might happen is exactly what happened. That would have been the first thought that would come to my mind. And it's crazy. You know what? There might be some spokesman for the Taliban who's feeding these lines to the AP. Oh, we're going to be nice. We're going to. Yeah. But you know what? The rest of the Taliban, like you said, the rest of the Taliban's not paying attention to that. They're going to still, Aleppo doesn't change its spots. They're going to still continue to be the horrible people that they are.
Well, there's an old saying in Tennessee that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me. You can't get fooled again. You know what I mean? It was a George Bush, I think, maybe. But the Taliban is, yeah, they're PR people saying, women, keep going to your government jobs. Keep going into work. Oh my gosh, you're fine.
We'll come visit you to say, good job. Like, just give us the address that you're going to be at doing this.
Yeah, basically, yeah, their PR is going into high drive. And then I'm seeing all sorts of, there was a group of women protesting the Taliban and the Taliban standing all around them. And this is tinfoil hat, Katie. I don't know what to believe. People are saying, well, actually the Taliban planted those women there to protest them, to show that they're not hurting the women and that they're allowing women to protest. And I'm like, what's the real story?
That's a good one. That's a good theory.
Yeah,
the bravest women in the world, which I'm erring on the side of, or there's like a deep state. There's a deeper thing. Yeah.
You're right, Kate, like seeing some of these women that are out there reporting, the woman that's doing it for CNN right now, and she's standing like outside the gates alone, just with her camera people, legitimately some of the bravest shit that I've ever seen. Like, and there's several women that are reporting here. And then you have other politicians that are like, oh, this is actually not that brave. Like, they know that she's on camera. Dude, do you think the Taliban really gives a fuck if she's on camera or not?
No,
like,
not
they
at all.
Used to turn on the cameras to behead somebody.
Yeah. I think her name's Clarissa Ward. So, you know, credit to her for standing there when there's imminent danger all around her.
I had tweeted out like, this woman has the biggest balls of anybody I've ever seen. And I would get comments like, well, she knows that she's on camera. What's going to happen? Like, how can you possibly be that ignorant? Like, you're so insecure with your own masculinity that you have to downplay this woman who is reporting in front of
Clarissa Ward is her name, by the way. Clarissa Ward.
Hundreds of Taliban members. Hundreds.
Yeah. This is like on steroids, the version of when the woman won the skeet shooting for the U.S. in the Olympics, and all these guys on Twitter are like, whatever, me and my Uncle Kenny hit as many clay birds with. It's no big deal. Yeah.
I mean, try to put myself in that position. I'm not doing ZBT in front of the fucking Taliban. It's hard enough to do it in a live crew in like a fucking Starbucks in Philadelphia. Like, when you put me in front of the Taliban, that's going to be a shitty show.
Probably. It'd probably be worse than that time we tried to do it from a parking lot at the Air Force Army game.
But one of the things that we've had to watch, one of the things that we've had to watch along the way is different takes from different people and Monday morning quarterbacking. We've gotten asked a bunch what we would do. One of the best responses that we've seen to that is from the witch community. The witch community is just absolutely not fucking going to tolerate the Taliban. I had no idea the witch community was so strong, especially on Reddit. But recently, over the last couple of days, there's been a new Reddit subreddit pop up, and it's called Bewitch the Taliban. And they say that they want to hone their energy. They say, hello, friends. Just noticing that we are all in the same mindset here as far as utilizing our hexes to help wipe the Taliban scourge from the earth. I suggest we find a meeting place in America where the world's hatreds and the strongest energies against the Taliban are. For a meeting place, I was going to say maybe right outside the White House on the sidewalk by the front lawn. Due to our proximity to the commander-in-chief and the amazing President Biden, we can even ask the Secretary of Defense if they wish to allow us into the building to further our cause. I'd love to hear your thoughts. First of all, my thoughts are, I'm fucking in. I would love to go.
Let's go.
What is that cartoon that's like,
we must
you son
go.
Of a bitch, I'm in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the naysayers, what the heck? There's naysayers on this. Cogito ergo someone said, yeah, this isn't remotely doable at all. Anonymity is something that we definitely need to maintain with this operation. Oh, it's OPSEC in the witchcraft yeah. community. Pardon me.
Yeah.
Making a big deal out of what we're doing.
You think they NJP witches for breaking OPSEC?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely they do.
Besides, meeting in one place isn't necessary for this, nor is it necessary for powerful magic to be worked. People got lives. Okay. Yeah, magic
that's true.
And work.
You can't separate. Be... Like, people got lives on the other side. It's not all just about witchcraft. That's one of the things I've always said about the witchcraft community. People think that when you're a witch, it's all witching all the time. That's just not the case. Sometimes you witch, sometimes you don't. Sometimes
you
got
to shift the Panera.
Witch.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes it's a little like, mix of both.
I'd love to throw out a little hex, but your boy's busy. You think that the people in Lowe's are going to be able to find the 3x3 lumber by themselves or not?
Yeah, Jamie Rose brought up a good point. Not all the witches putting this hex on the Taliban are even in America. And travel's pretty tough right now.
And honestly, that's kind of like American-centric, and I don't really appreciate that. I know the witch community doesn't recognize borders, so.
But they said they'd be willing to make a Discord server, so why don't we all meet up online at the same time is a pretty neat idea. Cognitive Hazard said, well, of course it won't be doable with that mindset. So
yeah, I like that.
People,
you got to stay positive.
Witches, yep.
You got to have that PMA. There's two things that you need PMA. One, to fly and go to Neverland, and two, to hex a witch.
Is the cauldron half full or is it half empty? You know what I mean? What are you thinking there? You have to stay motivated. We need to get organized if this is truly to work.
I also love that the witch community is giving out some safety briefs because they said, as you're all aware, Afghanistan is in a very dire situation. And many of us are preparing rituals and performing incantations to help alleviate the human suffering that is occurring there. The Taliban, as horrible as they are, have shown themselves to be and are very spiritually aware, and they routinely take steps to dispel, ward off, and weaken magic. They have incantations and rituals of their own, of which can be at the very least neutralize us, at worst cause damage to our spiritual selves, perhaps through some sort of hex blowback. So you can't just go out just assume that they're not going to have their own witches.
Right. I think it was Sun Tzu who said, lest we forget that others have magic too, or forever fall into their depths of their spells.
Witch me once.
I'm paraphrasing.
Shame on you. Witch me another time.
Shame on
you. You ain't going to witch me again.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. That's a thing. This last time y'all wanted a mass hex, we got a pandemic, someone's saying. So you can't be crazy with this stuff too.
You can't be willy-nilly with your magic.
Someone else brought up a good point. Are we just going to ignore the complete astrological nightmare that was 2020 with the Mercury retrograde?
I'll tell you what, Kate, I'm not going to ignore that.
Not
I won't
me
let
again.
That happen again.
Also, with the Great Conjunction that signaled the beginning of that. We all remember the Great Conjunction, by the way.
Oh,
thank God we got through it. Beginning of the age of Aquarius.
The age of Aquarius.
The clearing out of all the crap had to be done. I don't think it's a fair point to put the blame on the hexing.
I don't like that they use crap there. I need the language cleaned up a little
bit. A little bit. It's entirely fair to say that mass hexing for 4 years straight would cause part of it. So maybe they're over-hexed. Maybe they're saying we've hexed for far too long. We're stretching it a little thin. But basically, I do think they're going to meet up on the Discord. I would like an invite. And hex the Taliban.
Let me ask you a question, Kate. This is very important to you because I know it's two of your biggest passions. You can infiltrate and be a part of a group that's just going to welcome you in with open arms, and they're going to give you a password to the Discord and make you basically an admin on there. You get the opportunity to go into military Furby Discord or which Discord? Which Discord are you going into?
The furry community, the military furry community. Well, I'm also
I said
really
Furby, right? Like that's a little
you said Furby.
Say Furby.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Furry
that's cool.
community.
That one too. We'll do three. Furby community, furry community, or witch community.
Military furries, number one, military juggalos. Also, I went down to DC and met with them at one point, and that was something important to me too. I'm going to have to go with military furries, even though military witch is pretty cool.
I get it. I get where you're coming from.
Witching should be an MOS, legitimately.
I mean, with all that we're seeing now, just from this little snippet from the witchcraft community, I absolutely agree. And I would just like to point out that a lot of people are complaining and arguing right now, but these people, they're in the room, they're brainstorming, they're trying to figure a way out of this, and they should be commended for that.
Yeah, don't just speak about it, be about it, is what they say about that. And I think it's a good point.
One other thing that I wanted to talk about really quick, they're not witches, so I don't know how effective they're going to be, but the Panjshir Valley, I'm probably saying that wrong, it's the one area in all of Afghanistan.
Wait, before you do a serious point, I have one more witch joke.
Yes, go ahead.
I think it's actually DARPA is the witches, and it's not really microwaves, it's just a hex.
Okay.
Let's continue with your real story.
But there is the witches are working on the hexes, and there is one last stronghold in all of Afghanistan right now. It is up in the Hindu Kush mountain range and has become the last bulwark against Taliban fighters who have seized the country. For decades, thousands of mostly ethnic Tajiks have protected Panjshir's prized oasis of emerald rivers and rolling hills. Snipers loyal to the province are always hidden in its ranges. So basically, it's like guerrilla warfare central. If you know the ins and outs of that area, you have the upper hand, you have the high ground. It's really, really tough for people to come in there and take it over. We will be resisting, not surrendering. We will never surrender, vowed Ahmad Muslim Hayat, a former Afghan embassy defense attaché in London. The VP also.
Attaché is such a good word.
Such a great word. As we all know, the president of Afghanistan has fled and is in his money chopper or whatever that is. But the vice president also has stuck around and is in this province right now. The son of Massoud is there. Also, there's all these other people that are making their way there, and they said basically what I'm seeing online, we're going to fight to the death.
Yeah.
This is going to be the last
like
one.
The guy that you're talking about, it's his son, like that used to be the main leader of the Mujahideen. And now he is like trying to have this force that he's going to rise up to try to battle the Taliban. And they're saying they're not giving up and not ceding it to the Taliban yet. I want to say Mujahideen might be the greatest name of any group, like fighter, like just based off the name Mujahideen. I'm in the Mujahideen. That just Mujahideen sounds like you're about to fuck somebody up if you're in the
slash different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically the son of the Northern Alliance chief, like that's his son is now leading this charge basically. And it's pretty crazy. So that was another little, not silver lining, but like people aren't done fighting yet. There's no.
And that shit's so brave. Like a couple other cities, the larger cities, not Kabul, but a couple of the larger cities, they've also, the Taliban went in there and raised their white flag that has their Taliban symbol on it. And they brought it back down and flew the Afghanistan flag that has been flying for the last couple of years. I think that you're going to see this. And this is exact, like, that's why what Biden said was so off when he said these people aren't going to fight. Maybe they don't fight the way that you do. Maybe they're getting organized and doing it in a way, and they knew that their government was going to collapse and they weren't going to hang around for a collapsed government. If that's what their intel said, we should hire some of them and have them work for us. Because if they could predict what was going to happen and they're going to have secondary actions, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in that region for the next couple of years. There's been a lot of concerning statements that have come out of the White House and from the executive branch. Some of those being that we also don't need military bases that are be in Tajikistan and Kazakhstan and some of the other places that would give us quick ability to quickly go after Iran or some of our other foes. And now they are saying that we might not even need any bases in that section of the world, which I think is absolutely insane to give
That's
up all footing in that area, especially as China and Russia grow their military. We're going to give up any of that footing. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But like I said before, I was just a dumbass staff sergeant. So what the fuck do I know? Maybe they're right about that.
Hey, last thing I want to say on this topic. Maybe I'm alone in this. Maybe I'm not. But how has nobody corrected the president in his pronunciation of Taliban?
Well, that's how Taliban? That's how some say it.
Really? The Taliban?
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
When we used to get intel briefs, that's what they used to say. Taliban.
Well, then.
Hey, Mr. Taliban. Taliban. Take us, please go home. That's the witch hex. That's the witchcraft hex.
Also, one more C-17 reference from that flight. It warmed my daddy heart when I saw that little girl
oh, yeah.
laying on the floor. And I put myself in that position. I've flown in C-17s on the floor. It is cold as fuck. You're hot as shit.
And uncomfortable.
You're so hot when you're on the ground. And then you go up and there's no insulation. There's nothing. So you're just freezing the entire flight. When I went, we weren't supposed to, but I got Saika, my dog, out of his kennel, put him inside the sleeping bag with me and zipped it up like over my head. So Saika was like panting in there, essentially making myself my own little plane induced igloo.
Yeah. Awesome. This photo fantastic. That's going viral, C-17 Loadmaster, an airman, he took off his cami top and put it on this little girl so that she would be warm. So she's sleeping soundly on the floor.
When that dude goes home, if he's married and his wife sees that picture
or her,
somebody's getting something licked is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's it.
And also, man, the Air Force, so many stories of their bravery with going back to the story of Zach, the interpreter.
Yes.
It was an
after Air Force, this show, though, we're done talking.
Yeah, we're done. Bravery. We're done being nice to Air Force. We're back to where we
Yeah, no more niceness to the Air Force. But it was an airman who went outside the gate and personally put his own life at risk to go out and find him in that crowd, which if you saw the crowd and, you know, like just
that's
really,
another
really
thing you'd probably
stuff.
Get charged with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Air Force stepping up in incredible ways. Really, really amazing.
Also the picture that we had, I think we posted it yesterday, where it was the wife of it's actually a Naval reservist, or no, it was Air Force reservist. Again, it was Air Force reservist that they were on a deployment to Kuwait. And they said, look, it was kind of like mixed branches of reservists together. And they said, you guys are going to go help do security in Kabul. And everybody, even though it was an extension of their deployment that they're currently on, everybody was like, yes. And one of the person that submitted it, he's about like his family, they're about to be done with his time in the reserves. And his wife said to me, you know, it extended the deployment a little bit, but it's really nice for my husband and the crew that's there and everybody that's going to know they are actually making a difference. Like it's been so long to know, like, and you know, within your heart's heart that you're making a difference, having that and putting yourself in a position where you could possibly get extreme violence, where you are really in an imminent danger situation. You know that you're helping other people. Every single person that wears a uniform would sign up to be on that plane. Everyone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's very nice to see.
Yeah. So credit to all you that are still wearing the uniform, doing incredibly brave things and being incredibly great people along the way. We're so proud of you. Like looking at the pictures and looking at people commenting and knowing that you want to do something good in the world and you want that to be the legacy of the United States military instead of atrocities. It warms my heart. And I'm so glad to see that that's what the military community is about right now. It's refreshing to see a united front whenever we need a united front. I'm glad to see it. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to round number two. And round number two today is going to be brought to you by our good friends at BetterHelp, which couldn't come at a better time.
Truly.
Yes. So if you are struggling and you just need somebody to talk to, and I don't even want to say you have to be full blown struggling, you know, like a lot of times we wait too long in mental health. We will be like, okay, I can still handle it. I don't need it. You don't have to do that. If you're getting to the point, like I always equate the psychologist as being the brain dentist. If you notice a little tinge in your brain gums, go see the dentist. Go see the BetterHelp dentist. They're going to help you out along the way. They do accept some insurances, but if you don't have insurance, it's affordable enough where you can hop on there together. And I'll say, if you are somebody that is really, really struggling and you don't have the finances, reach out to us. We'll help you out. I'll help you out personally. If you need help, let us know and we'll try to do something to get you the help that you need. Go to BetterHelp is a custom online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anybody on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. And you can start communicating with your therapist in 48 hours, unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain from it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp and our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/zero. That's BETTERHELP.com/zero. Kate, what's the phonetic alphabet there?
Bravo. Eczema. Mm-hmm. Taco.
Mm-hmm.
Eczema. Mm-hmm. They probably don't like that. Raphael, mm-hmm. I will say Barstool sent out an email.
No, keep going. We're not keep done.
Going. You're not better. Done. There's four more letters there.
Hot patootins. Eczema. Why eczema?
Yeah, I don't know.
Latkes? Whoa, where did that come from?
What's going on with your brain?
I was just going to say, this is a look inside Kate's brain, and it is an odd place.
If your brain is like Kate, you need to go to betterhelp.com/zero to get some help and get straightened out a little bit. But what Kate was mentioning is important because people look at Barstool as like this frat boy culture, which I don't agree with at all. But
no, we're a bunch of weirdos.
Look it around. Like, seriously, do a little scan of the Barstool office on the content side.
Look at this.
Frat, there might be, let's see, who would actually be in a frat at Barstool? Like, Feidelberg could have been in a frat. I think Cons would have been in a frat.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I was in a West Point, I was definitely in a frat.
Maybe KFC?
KFC.
Kevin would have been in one, but he would have been the dude who just talked shit on it the entire time, but he was still in it.
Rudy.
I could see Large.
Large would have been a frat board for sure. But there's not a whole lot of them anyways.
No.
But the Barstool is the Barstool. Barstool actually sent out to the employees that they are going to give free sessions to any of the employees
and
there.
Boy, it couldn't have come at a better time. I saw email come out as I was sitting here like, so thank God.
Yeah, I actually gave my credits to Kate, which is nice. So
thank you.
You're welcome. I didn't really do that. I'm going to keep them for myself because they're good. And I actually have used them. I've used them three separate times now and for three different appointments, and they've all been good. And it's hard to find somebody, a counselor that you care about. And that's what's good about an organization like this. Usually if you go to an office, you might have one or two counselors in that office. This one, they have a bunch. So if you don't find somebody that you click with, and that's important in a psych and like for a therapist, somebody that you click with. My old guy.
It's like dating.
Yeah. My old guy, Josh, was like the nicest dude. And he would just let me talk. And he'd be like, he would stop me and be like, hey, Matthew, I feel like you're performing for me right now. You realize you're not on a podcast, right? And you don't have to entertain me. And I was I was like, I'm doing my best. I can't.
He saw right through you.
I'm doing my best. So find somebody like Josh. It'll make you do your best at betterhelp.com /zero. You're going to get 10% off, which is great. Let's move on to round number two. It's a heartwarming story. This one, there was a picture in 2016. It was a West Point graduation, which Cons knows about because he graduated there, if you haven't heard that. But there was a cadet, and now he is an officer, but there's a cadet that was from Haiti, and you could see the emotion whenever he was graduating. He had huge tears, almost like Knowshon Moreno, if you remember the former running back for the Denver Broncos, who had the world's largest tears of all time. I still don't know how that's possible, enlarged tear ducts or something, but this guy, you could tell that graduating from West Point and wearing the uniform of the United States Army meant something to him. And he came from Haiti, and his story is absolutely incredible. Kate, why don't you walk us through it?
Yeah. So this, I saw this bounce around Twitter, and I thought I'd look it up and read more about it and share it with you all. And pardon me if I get his last name wrong. Back in 2016, West Point's Facebook page posted a viral photo of Alex Irache. Irach?
Yeah, no, you're right with the first one.
At graduation, tears streaming down his face, and it went mega viral. He was born and raised in Haiti. His father was a tailor. His mother was originally a street merchant, but later opened a restaurant out of their home. His father was always hoping to bring his kids to the U.S. The United States is still seen in many parts of the world as the land of opportunity, he said. My father's dad sold his land and cattle to buy a visa, and he eventually brought my dad here because if you come to the U.S., you can sponsor. So his father came in 2003, got his green card, worked for 4 years, finally got his citizenship, and then was able to sponsor his son and daughter to come here.
And think about that for a moment. Mm-hmm. It is so, being away from your kids is just unbelievably difficult. Mm-hmm. And some of these, and we see it in Afghanistan too. I saw a picture that just came out, and this situation obviously different from what's going on in Afghanistan, but in a lot of ways it's the same because of what happened in Haiti in 2016. But these people that you have to leave your home for that long in order to provide a life for your kids and bring it back. It's such an unbelievable sacrifice on the side of both parents in order to do that. There's a picture that came out in Afghanistan where people are trying to get flights for their kids. And you saw people standing at the gates trying to hand their babies and their toddlers to people dressed in American uniforms and not even knowing where they're going to go, but they just have to get away from the Taliban and they're willing to hand over their child. That is love that that we don't even really comprehend here. Like, where I would rather my baby go with somebody that I don't know to America than stay here and live under Taliban rule. That's something that we can't really even comprehend. And it happens pretty consistently around the globe. And this is another one of those stories where amazing sacrifice from
an immigrant making an enormous sacrifice.
And I just can't imagine, I'm sorry, real quickly, as a father, Chaps, and you, Nick, to just be separated from your child and not, never know if you're ever going to see them again, but knowing that would be the right move. And that's just crazy to me to even comprehend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine. But so his father came in 2003, got his green card, worked for 4 years, citizenship, sponsored his son and daughter. And so then he joined the Maryland National Guard and served from 2010 to 2012. And worth noting, about 65,000 immigrants currently serve in the U.S. military active duty. 65,000. Then on to West Point, and now he is a pilot and going viral once again. This time it's because a fellow West Point classmate took to Twitter to post the original photo of him, tears streaming down his face at graduation, next to a photo and caption he posted. She took a screenshot of it and posted it next to that graduation photo from his own Facebook as he heads back to Haiti to help with the earthquake response. As we all know, horrible earthquake in Haiti over the weekend, almost 2,000 people dead so far and 9,000, almost 10,000 injured. And now a tropical depression is battering the country with heavy rains, complicating the efforts. But he posted this. He's in full gear, as a full pilot gear. And he says, 11 years ago, I remember feeling powerless and simply watching the news, wishing there was something I could do. Today, and he's referencing yet another horrendous earthquake that happened there. Today, through a series of unlikely events and a rather unexpected journey, I am in a position to help. I'm heading back home. All the hard work has paid and it has gone full circle. So left Haiti through incredible efforts by his parents, got to the United States, joined the military, and now he is able to go back and help Haiti in a lot of huge ways. There is a task force, almost every, I think every branch of the military is down there right now, assisting with transport, medical care, damage assessment, and more. And this is just one of those, I know it's kind of cliche at this point, but look for the helpers. And so
and it makes you feel, it makes you feel proud. And you, you try to imagine what that dad is going through now and seeing this picture of his son going and helping his former countrymen and the people that he still cares about. It's just inspiring. And that's what we want to see. And this is the kind of person that you want to be a graduate of West Point, I would assume.
Yeah, this is exactly who we want to represent us. And something I want to point out about the first picture, the viral picture, you'll notice his uniform. So it's
don't correct his uniform, Cons.
No, I'm not correcting it. I'm going to point out two things to you because
he's got IPs. Shit's all fucked up. You don't have an iron.
No. I want to point out two things to you so you can appreciate how this is not surprising that we're now seeing this story about this young man. So I think it's one thing for him to join the Maryland National Guard and then to get himself into West Point, that by itself, and then graduating, all that by himself is a tremendous accomplishment. Mm-hmm. But first thing, you'll notice on his collar, he's got that gold star. Mm-hmm. That means he's in the top percent of his class academically, which means he put in the work to excel academically. And then you'll notice on his sleeve, all those chevrons, that means he held a very high position militarily within the Corps of Cadets. So not only did he take this opportunity just to be there, but then to excel while he was there amid all the challenges that go with going to school there, really, I think speaks to the character of this man. So for me to then turn around and see what he's doing today, I'm extremely proud, but I cannot say that I'm surprised. I've never met him, but to accomplish what he did just in school tells me that he's a really impressive young officer. And I'm proud that he wears our uniform.
Yeah, I would be too. And I think, to highlight one of these points, I think there needs to be a constitutional amendment. And it's not something that I've thought about for a long time. I believe that we need to have a constitutional amendment that no longer requires that you need to be born in the United States to be president of the United States. We've seen several people that might be deserving. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for example, like he does a, for a former actor and things like that, the things that he stands for and being legit centralist. And I think that he would be great as a president. And this guy, like you continue to serve, you continue to grow and continue to do things. Why the fuck shouldn't he be able to be president?
Yeah, I agree with you. He clearly loves this country and would represent it very well. So why not him?
If you wear the uniform in the United States, even if you were born in a different country, you should be able to be president.
Yeah, that could be the amendment right there. I agree with you.
I'm gonna write it and send it to Kinzinger, see if he'll do it.
Right. Yeah. If you're willing to die for the country, then you can serve in its highest office.
It really should be as simple as that, honestly. All right, let's move on to round number three, which today is going to be presented by Cross Country Mortgage. Cons fucking loves Cross Country Mortgage. Every week when we have these ads on Instagram, Cons is like, please, chaps, let me do this one. I'm begging you, let me do this one. And I don't blame him because Cross Country Mortgage is helping folks out. It's much like us here at Barstool. We are a people-first organization, so are they. They're dedicated to the fundamentals of mortgage lending, which has fast results and a convenient, less stressful financing situation. The rates are unbelievably low right now. Don't wait. You need to go. Even if you want to get like a home renovation, like if you want to reduce your mortgage rate or anything like that, if you signed a couple years ago and now you see these opportunities to get a much lower interest rate, you can refinance with them as well. Basically, anything you could do with a mortgage, you could do it with Cross Country Mortgage. Their rates are an all-time low and they may never be this low again, which sometimes sounds like hyperbole, but I think that this is true. Like
hyperbole. Oh, good to see that we still make fun of one another around these parts.
Cons, did you ever play in the Hyper Bowl?
I was the MVP of the Hyper Bowl when I was a freshman.
Sweet.
Well, people don't say, this is so unfair. It's words that people don't say and you just read them and they just become the way that you say them in your head forever.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
credit to us.
How often do people say hyperbole out loud? Not often.
Enough that you should know.
In the last year, how many times have you said it out loud, Cons? I would say zero.
You know what? Zero.
Right. So maybe I blame you guys. You don't say it enough, so I'm not exposed.
I went through a phase where every time I saw the word capacity, my brain said, Kappa City? Huh? So I get it.
Mm-hmm. And when you see a group of larger than five numbers scattered together.
Yeah, Kappa City is a good spot for spring break.
Yeah, right.
Right. Mm. Hey, anything over 10,000 with mixed numbers, that's difficult.
Not going to read it. You're right.
So if you want to read a lot of numbers because mortgages are expensive, go to crosscountrymortgage.com/barstool to learn more about your future home buy experience or refinance your current mortgage. This is my favorite part of the ad read. Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029. All loans are subject to underwriting approval. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org is where you need to go to check all this out. I'm actually going to do it. I think because when I bought my new home, I had like two different loans and one of them got paid off. And now I think I'm going to refinance with these folks and see if I can get a lower rate.
You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't at least check, because why pay more money if you don't have to?
Yeah,
exactly right. That's smart. That's foolish. Not
that
smart
ain't
at
no
all.
Hyperbole.
Mm-mm, that ain't no hyperbole. Hyperbole.
You're not getting to the hyperbole playing like that.
Hyperbole, mm-hmm. Kate, is what we need to go through. Mm-hmm. No hyperbole here. The Vet Bros were out in full force on what an unbelievable transition that was, right?
Yeah, you skipped over the snake story, but I'll allow it.
Oh, no. Let's go back to the snake story. Sorry. Round number three, we got some snake goofing.
Quick round.
Yeah, we've talked about this before of what goes on in Cobra Gold. Cobra Gold, honest to God, should have like Las
Thailand.
Vegas rules.
Yeah, Thailand jungle training.
Whatever happens in the jungle stays in the jungle.
Yep.
Well, this news story I saw it on like military.com or something, but I went right over to the PETA site for a fair and unbalanced version of their version of events. Mm-hmm. So this is from PETA themselves. Wonderful news. Not a single animal was killed in survival training drills during Cobra Gold 2021. Who has PETA's inside eyeball on this, by the way? I don't know. Anyways, that is a massive joint multinational military exercise held in Thailand pretty much every year. The victory comes after an intense campaign in which PETA and thousands of supporters urged the Secretary of Defense and the Marine Corps Commandant to end the freakish behavior of Marines, participating in the annual exercise, which included beheading snakes, killing chickens with their bare hands, goosing each other by the porta johns, eating live scorpions, and cutting live geckos.
Goosing is that that's frowned upon now, it right? is.
We don't but goose each other.
That's so sad. I think you should be able to sign something like the red tabs that we used to think were people for Marines with HIV. I think that we should be able to. I've talked about that before,
that's
right?
The Kate's, rumor, right?
Kayfabe's cringe, but I think that this put the red tabs on where if you're allowed to be goosed, if you right. want to play the goose game, you get a red
oil
tab.
Check. Right.
Yeah, I'm getting goosed.
Yeah, right. Just a little credit cards check.
It right. should be up to me whether or not I get goosed or not.
Yeah, don't tell me if I can get goosed. I like getting right. goosed.
It's with just consent. With consent.
It's just goofing with the fellas and the ladies. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. it's like that's what you do in the smoke pit. You just fucking goose.
That slope is more slippery than a snake. Some
yeah,
say.
Just a little
speaking
goose
of, PETA goes on to say, this should be the end of this frat party gone wrong goosing. Spectacle. They're calling Cobra Gold a frat party gone wrong spectacle. PETA will be watching to ensure that's the case. Has PETA done their own jungle training that they're out there in the jungle watching the Marines do such a thing during a survival training? And this is because, and they link to the previous story, during a survival training exercise in Thailand, the few, the proud, the Marines turned into freakish, ridiculous, embarrassing, shocking cell phone videos show these U.S. troops proudly drinking blood from beheaded cobras and chomping on the live bodies of tarantulas and scorpions, while others feverishly cheered them on in what was more reminiscent of a frat party gone wrong than a military training drill. Animal-free survival training in the jungle is something that boy or girl scouts could figure out without reducing themselves to being participants in a cruel, carnival-like, toxic masculinity sideshow. They just rotated the PETA buzzwords bingo yeah. spinner, and they're like, "All right, let's pull a bunch of
toxic masculinity."
Yeah. Jungle
what
survival.
What SEO word masculinity. Can we pull out here and then hyphenate them together to string it together like it's a modifier?
Yeah, jungle survival experts agree that there's no need to use animals in survival training. Bear Grylls says all you need to do is just drink urine. That's,
I mean, Bear Grylls is he's a big time snake eater on his show, so he shouldn't be right. chiming in at all.
No,
and I honestly think what's like people that are so upset about this, if you eat these chickens after you do it, I don't care. Like, to me, this type of thing, these chickens were free range chickens. They're just goofing around Thailand. Now they're going to get eaten. That's what happens. That's a better life than hanging out in some fucking Tyson chicken factory. Guarantee you that.
That's great. Have you guys ever seen Super Size Me Part 2? He goes deep into the chicken industry.
Oh, I would say gross.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Those documentaries.
Yeah, don't watch that.
I can get brainwashed real quick. On a documentary it's happened to me before where it's like, oh, I'm not eating anything but organic, and then I'll read another article, be like, oh, fucking organic, stupid, this is dumb, it's actually worse for the environment.
Oh yeah, big time sheep method. Over here. Believe you me,
yeah.
The things also, I'm doing as a new mom is based off shit I see on TikTok, honestly.
What are you doing as a new mom based off TikTok?
Well, people say, well, you got to start
sucking boogers.
I'm sucking boogers. You got to start feeding them food at blah, blah, blah. And then I see another TikTok that's like, no, not until 6 months, honey. And then someone else saying, no, you got to do it this way and put cheese in. And then you see, no.
The leg bicycle fart move.
The leg bicycle fart move I'm doing because of it. Oh,
I did that to Annalise the other day. Didn't work.
Putting them down on a certain way for a nap has been, yeah. Oh man, everything's from TikTok.
One thing that I saw a mom that you do, you, he's old enough now. I would not be waking up for diaper changes. If you are tired, I wouldn't be doing it. Just throw on some Butchu Buck face the next day and you're good. I wouldn't be waking up
for
diaper
changes.
I got them super absorbent nighttime diapers.
Yeah. So like
that, but I changed them in the middle of the night.
Butt paste.
Yeah, it's butt paste. It's like it used to be like diaper rash cream, but there's some that's really, really good called butt paste. Also,
I already use
what it like stops it up and keeps you from pooping?
No,
it's not like butt.
Like puts it together.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Listen to Podfathers one time, cons. Like it. No.
Oh, by the way, I was on the Podfathers this week. You should listen.
It's like spraying wax on your car at the end of the car wash. Keeps it from getting all slippery.
Yeah, it's basically just like Neosporin for your butthole and like the surrounding areas is what it is. But it also, for those that are listening that are thinking about getting tattoos, if you put that stuff over a tattoo, it'll heal like 3 times faster.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think that drinking these snake blood, not a big deal. Like for me, I wouldn't. If I was Secretary Austin, I would tell PETA to go fuck themselves.
Listen, PETA, we got bigger
fish to fry. How much
respect
from the military community? if they PETA has this tweet out that's like, stop eating cobra blood and chickens and shit like that, if Secretary Austin quote tweeted it, it was like, go fuck yourself. Like, people would go bananas. He might be the next president of the United States.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. But no,
I mean, because PETA. That is a platform so many people get. The fuck PETA platform is one that so many people can get around.
And I think we should just be clear.
Eating tasty animals, right?
That's exactly right, Kate.
I think we should be clear. None of us are in favor of animal cruelty. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's be very crystal clear about that. But PETA just takes it to a different level that we don't need to be.
Yeah, just be normal. If they got rid of all that crazy ass language and they're like, let's just treat animals with kindness, we're like, yeah, sure, yeah, let's do that.
Mm-hmm. They also noted nothing personal against the Taliban, but they stepped on 7 anthills during the human rights abuses outside the airport yesterday. So that's tough look.
Yeah, that is tough. And I want to say one more note about Afghanistan. My favorite clip of making fun of it has been the Borat clip where they're like the Taliban going into the presidential palace in the Kabul, and it's Borat like, king of the castle, look at the la la lila. That one made me laugh. So that was a good
I know
time.
It's not like the dark humor that is people like, oh, you can't laugh, like whatever, but sometimes dark humor you just need because your brain is just so fucked up over it that you're like,
I love my favorite comment of the week before we get into round number 4. That is actually a bunch of Vet Pro comments. Is somebody came in to the ZBT because we posted the meme that was the Spider-Man meme, and it was Biden, Trump, and Obama pointing at each other. And somebody chimed in into the comments and they're like, I can't believe you guys are going to leave W out of this. And it's like, who the fuck do you think is painting the picture? Like,
yeah, the meme is George W. Bush painting the three of them all pointing at each other. And somebody said, oh, somebody's like, classic lib stool. And then somebody else was like, yeah, leaving Bush off of it. And we're like, no.
I disagree with a lot of President Bush's policies and what he did in office. But if I was a legit millionaire and had a lot of money, you better believe I'm commissioning President Bush to have one in my house. You walk in and you come into somebody's foyer and they're like, "What? Who did this? What is this, the significance of this kitten painting that you have?" Like, oh, President Bush actually painted
that. That's a
like,
W original.
Have you seen it at weddings? There's a trend now where you bring an actual painter to the wedding and people can sit down and the painter will paint their portrait for them really quickly. Imagine what a stunt. Having to open the thing to sit down for the painting, and you've hired George W. Bush to paint them.
Yeah, and I'm going to be wearing Rocky boots in Khan's wedding because they're designed for the men and women that serve and protect our country. Honestly, you could. Like, I say that as a joke to go in. They're cowboy boots. I'm from Texas. I can wear cowboy boots with a suit, no doubt about it. Like, and you put that on.
Absolutely.
And they have nice cowboy boots, too. Like, it's not just military stuff. It's not just carpenter stuff. I don't think we've even mentioned the cowboy boots. I think I have 3 pairs of their cowboy boots. And some of them, they have ones where it's like, hey, we're ready to go boot, scoot, and boogie, where we're going to do a little Texas two-step. And they have some that's like, hey, we're going to put these on and we're going to go actually ride some horses and shit like that. So either way you want your cowboy boots, you can do that. They're also designed for the military branches. No matter what branch of service you are, you can find your boot there. Just go to rockyboots.com and the promo code ZBT and you'll get 25% off your next pair of boots. That's 25% off. That's a great damn deal. A lot of these boots out here that they advertise on base are going to cost you $200. That's not going to happen with Rocky Boots, especially not with 25% off. rockyboots.com with the promo code ZBT for 25% off. Let's move into round number 4. We're going to talk shit about Vet Bros, one of my favorite things to do. So this has been something that I've wanted to do for a little bit, for a while. Kate posted a video on ZBT's Instagram page of a tradition. Kind of explain what that tradition is, Kate.
Yeah, so I found this on TikTok, and it just visually, it's very beautiful, but there's this big old... what would you call it? Like a storage tent of sorts?
Like, almost like a hangar, like a makeshift
hangar. Storage hangar. Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's a big hangar.
It's a big hangar in Kuwait. And it has been, and actually I was reading comments on it. I'm like, wow, it looks like it's been bombed. Well, it had been bombed in the past and there's bullet holes all over it, whatever. But the tradition is when your time in Kuwait is done and you're heading home, you take your boots in there. And it's like in the city when you see the telephone wire and you see all the Converse shoes and all the shoes like hanging on the telephone wire, you go and on the rebar.
Isn't that because you fuck though? Like, isn't that what you do? Like the first time you fuck, you throw your shoes on the telephone wire?
I hadn't heard that one.
Never heard that. Sorry.
Maybe not.
That must be a Florida thing.
Maybe. Never it's hyperbole.
But because the roof of this hangar had been bumped in, there's all this rebar hanging down, and people started throwing their boots up to hang them off the rebar when it was time for them to leave Kuwait. So this soldier posts this TikTok of her going in and throwing her own boots up there with the explanation that this is a tradition. And I thought, oh, that's really cool. It's also really visually beautiful. It almost looks like an art installation.
It really does. Like something where it's like you're supposed to be blown away. And I'm like, what is this? And it's just like boots on a wire.
Yeah. So I posted it to ZeroBlog30 and said, anyone else have end of deployment traditions? And it's Brie Renee 00, if you want to, or 00, if you want to follow her on TikTok. Immediately, the vetros came out loud and hard, like moths to a flame. Huh. Benji Hillier, Kuwait is a TDY, not a deployment. Two, waste of perfectly good boots. I'm not even going to read their names. I'm just going to go down the list.
I think we should read their names. I think we should out them totally.
Okay.
But one of these things I want to ask you guys, because I've actually been thinking about this since I saw a lot of these comments come up. What do you classify as a deployment? Do you have like parameters of what you think classifies as a deployment? Because I think I've come up with mine.
Okay. I'm going to tell you this very, very honestly. I've never actually given any thought to it.
Okay.
Because I've just been, if you're on a deployment, you're on a deployment.
That's surprising because it's a big time military gatekeeping thing for how many deployments you've done.
I guess in the last 20 years, Iraq or Afghanistan, that's it.
Oh, you have the actual rule.
This is the rule.
For you or actually?
From what I've observed.
Okay.
If the place that you are sent has amenities that are nicer than the place I was sent, the place that you were sent was not a deployment.
That's horseshit.
I had it harder than you in the place I was sent.
That's horseshit.
Mine was a deployment and yours was not.
My first spot in Afghanistan and Iraq was at Camp Anaconda, which had a ton of great amenities. They even had a pool of big diving boards.
Officer, so it's not really a surprise.
I would say if you are somewhere where there's some sort of element of danger.
Here's mine. I think I have what the actual qualification should be for a deployment.
Okay.
Can you go outside of the base with a group of two or three people unarmed and go shopping out in town? If the answer is yes, you can go out in town with a small group of people and you don't have to be armed. It's not a deployment. If the answer is no, then I would say it is. So if you can't go out in town by yourself and not on like an actual patrol, then it's not a deployment.
Yeah. If you can't go black out in the town and make some horrible decisions.
So if you can go goof out in town in Kuwait, then not a deployment. If you can't, then you can. Then it is a deployment.
Whatever the case, allow
you
me
just
to
confused
continue.
The hell out of me.
Yeah, me too. I knew when it was coming out. This is convoluted. Yeah.
You heard it in your head. And you're like, this isn't right, but I know what I want to say.
I'm just going to keep saying it.
Four contradictory things.
I love Lance.
But I knew exactly what you meant.
Yeah.
Anyways, Benji Hiller, Kuwait is TDY, not deployment. Johnny Tangu, did she just say, and in quotes, Kuwait? Trigger Bob said, Kuwait
what a pussy.
Kuwait is not a deployment. Said
he was triggered.
Mikey Boy just said, Kuwait, .. Brett's heirloom produce. Wow, who knew heirloom produce could be so you don't throw away your lucky combat boots first off. Second, Kuwait, lol. Again, really aggressive.
The fucking lucky combat boots.
Daddy Tut in all caps said Kuwait with several question marks and exclamation points. Chasing It 2020 said Kuwait and deployment don't go together. Okay.
One of my favorite comments that I've ever gotten on Instagram has to do with combat boots too, because last year when I was moving, I did like an Instagram live where I was going through my closet. What shoe should I take and what shoe should I not take? And I was saying, should I get rid of my deployment boots? And I was like, they're old. What am I going to do with them? I'm never going to wear them again. I'll just throw them out. And one dude was so butthurt. He was like, I can't believe that you'd even fucking joke about that. I think I got to unfollow you. You're like not a real military guy if you're going to throw away your combat boots. I was like, Jesus Christ, guy.
Yeah. You don't know. Chaps, really there's a lot of unwritten rules out there about what deployments are, what you can do with your own gear.
I'm sorry, really quickly, for this person chasing It 2020, you can see on the sheet, his avatar picture appears to be from what looks like his wedding, and it's him and his wife, and they appear like they're on a cover of a rom-com movie poster.
They do. So cute as a button.
Nah, I was gonna say it looks corny as shit, but
Yes, exactly.
I mean, he's in love. Like, you can't do that.
But he looks like an absolute dorkwad, to be honest. And he's like, queen deployment.
You can have that picture as your, and it's one of those, the bride reveal where you're not allowed to see her because of the good luck thing. It's one of those pictures where they're standing right beside each other, but nobody can see each other before the wedding. Mm. I think you can have that as your profile picture until you've been married for 4 months. After 4 months, get over yourself.
Yeah, exactly. More unwritten rules. Don't post about your wedding 4 months later. So cons, keep that in mind soon.
You got anniversaries and spouse's birthday. You could do that.
Got it.
There was hundreds more. Kuwait. There was hundreds more, tons of them. But then the comments started to notice that this soldier had a ponytail. Joker FPV, an account dedicated to the Joker.
Oh, this is all in the same post.
Said, LOL, that ponytail's a little past regs, huh? As if I care. P.S. T.D.Y.
Question mark.
Kuwait. Yeah. Well, you cared enough to comment on it, Joker. Joker account. Daryl For Real said that ponytail's out of reg, shoddy. Shoulder blades. And then more people saying.
Excellent use of shoddy, though.
Yeah, excellent use of shoddy. Mike Mustritz said, Kuwait has an air-conditioned gym, Olympic pool, and KFC. In what world is that a deployment? Honey, no. So did Leatherneck, honey. So
Anaconda did too. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Al-Assad did too.
El Medina 75 said, the fuck, Kuwait, TDY, maybe as good as it gets. Lieutenant Dan 21707, we don't believe this is the original Lieutenant Dan. No. He said, why are they having deployment traditions in Kuwait? Randall DFW, Kuwait might not be a combat deployment, but it's, wait a minute, it's what? Offensive reason. Hold on. Wait a second. Kuwait might not be a combat deployment, but it's still a year away from your family surrounded by hostile countries. I only ever passed through there, but I know it takes a lot to handle admin and logistics in Kuwait in order to move troops forward. Whoa.
There's,
you know what that is? That's an implanted PAO. That's what that is.
Wait a minute. Has anybody had eyes on?
Yeah, they're doing counter intel here. This is a propaganda machine here.
Yeah, that's a total propaganda machine. Who's our chief foreign officer, Bobby Arbrose? Anyone seen him recently?
When he gets out, because he's got to, I honest to God, am going to tell Dave I want to hire him. Like, when he leaves Paris Island, I want him to hire him for ZBT, where he can comb through our stuff, and then he can just start doing the same thing, and he'll just be our social media guy. And not even that, I think he should be the ombudsman for the entire Barstool network. Like, anybody that goes through, he just, like, respectfully, Chief Warrant Officer 3, Bobby Yarbrough.
Yeah. Your gambling pick was not accepted. Chief Warrant Officer 3, Bobby Yarbrough.
That would be incredible.
And now we move on. So that's annoying, though. The Kuwait is not a deployment. The deployment gatekeepers is group number one. And then group number two, I was like, where can I find absolute losers in the comment section? Not a knock on military.com, but on their Facebook page comments. It's just,
I mean, really, it could be any organization's Facebook comments, anyone.
Truly, absolutely, for sure. But I knew military.com, you get a lot of old timers on that one that really get wrestled up. So I found an article about, hey, you know, some of the branches are allowing ponytails now. Here's some of the comments on that. At the end, we'll decide who's more annoying. Benjamin Marshall, politics in the Corps is like seeing admin get a NAM, a Navy Achievement Medal. We all know it's a joke. Again, this is about ladies wearing ponytails at PT.
Everybody to picture all of these comments being said by BrainDamage62 on TikTok, the guy that we post on our Instagram. I'm like,
yeah.
Good morning, devil dogs.
Yeah. Adam Carlson said, and a lot of these photos are of, you know, when your dad tries to take a selfie and it's like his chin is kind of a weird angle and you're like, what are you doing? And he makes it his Facebook profile picture. That's what these guys are.
Out here at Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. Adam Carlson says, no offense, hot donuts anyone, now. But we are warriors, not dancers. Being wearing ponytail makes you a dancer.
Good point. Yeah.
Ryan Knott said, who wants a ponytail flopping around in a fight? Just made me laugh. Michael Betzer, one question. Will this win the next war?
Great question, Mike.
We're not having a great time right now. And the ponytails, wait a minute.
Well, we haven't won a war. I mean, before they were against regs and we hadn't won a war in a while. Maybe it's time to switch it up and allow ponytails.
That's true.
They allowed ponytails is when things really fell apart, if you think about it. My goodness.
True, yeah.
I love this one too. Timothy Edwards. There's that word again, dot, dot, dot. inclusive.
God forbid.
Yeah.
These pieces of shit. These goddamn women in their hair.
Again, this is about women wearing ponytails during PT in a certain time. Andrew Threlkeld said, awesome.
And I like how they're like, this is going to help us win combat. Do you think that's how they're going to wear it? Like whenever they're actually doing combat operations where it's just going to be flopping about in the wind and they're going to be like dancing to fucking Debbie Gibson. Like,
also, if you're in a combat set, this always shows to me how little people realize how rare it is to truly get into hand-to-hand combat. Okay. It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Andrew Threlkeld, awesome. Something to grab during combatives. Oh, wait, it's the Air Force. They don't fight anyway unless it's pilots or spec ops.
Boom.
Rose,
pilots do a lot of fucking hand-to-hand from the air?
Apparently. Yeah.
Is that what they do?
This one from Jeff Boone, I read in the voice of The Office. Who's the guy beats Battlestar Galactica?
Oh, Dwight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dwight Schrute.
Yeah. Head handle, same as a necktie. Like you can just
like calling a ponytail a head handle.
Absolutely. Dennis Mears.
Oh, hey there, fucking head handle.
Yeah, hey, head handle. Dennis Mears.
Hey there, kinder, scrunchy.
Gentler PC army strikes
hey there,
again.
Sock bun.
Won't be long before other branches follow suit. I wonder if they are following NFL rules. If it is hanging out, I could grab it during hand-to-hand. This guy brought a lot.
Bro,
he brought
a lot of gripes.
Yeah.
What I want to do is go all of these people. And because usually they have like a dog or a fish or like some type of pie as their avatar. Like I would like to go through and see what they actually look like and then just have the juxtaposition of them side by side. Like I would love to grab that in the middle of a hand-to-hand battle. And it's some fucking fat ass dude that hasn't done anything remotely tough in decades.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Larry Butera. Notice these are all men. Larry Butera. People seem to be missing what has been going on, sheeple. No longer do you conform to the military. That is the old military. Now, the military conforms to you.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, man. Anyway, who's more annoying, the Kuwait deployment people or the ponytail commenter?
This is a very, very tough question.
I hate to do this on the first time that we've had this segment, but I think it's going to have to be a push. I don't think that
really.
Yeah, because they're both equally bad. I would say, I mean, you might have to go just because the subject matter is so egregiously stupid about complaining about ponytails that takes it up a notch. So that like you add that a little bit, like almost levels of difficulty in gymnastics where sure anybody can do a plain old backflip, but can you do it with the twist? There's a level of difficulty that adds points. I would say the pettiness of the argument gives credence to ponytails here.
Now, on the other side, what I think is the fact that we've been going to Kuwait for 30 years now, I understand how it breaks people's brains, but they should have already gotten past that. The ponytails is still new, so their brains are still broken. They haven't had
I'll
a
also add
to think
a
through.
Caveat to my deployment explanation. If you're in a place that is consistently hotter than 110 degrees, that also counts as a deployment.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're
so even like Fort Polk in the wintertime or in the summertime, 29 Palms should be considered deployment all the time. That in Yuma, Arizona.
If you're in a place where military grade toilet paper, which is the thinnest of thin, if you dread wiping with it because you're so sweaty that you know it's just going to be torn to shreds in your ass crack and you're going to be stuck with a bunch of old TP bitties. I mean,
true.
You know what I mean?
Get that out of there.
Right.
Who hasn't done that before?
And that's a deployment.
Yeah. Right. So I also think that super cold should count too. So Fort Drum, Minot, the Air Force base in South Dakota, that should also count. Minot and Fort Drum, more deployments to me than going to Korea for a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, if you're in a place where it's so cold that the military grade toilet paper sticks to your labes like a tongue on a flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
I would say one other thing about the ponytail argument that might also really make these gentlemen think twice. I'm just going to continue to talk and pretend I didn't hear that. You know what you could probably say to these guys and it would really make them take a step back and think is, you know who else had a ponytail? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
True.
And then they'd be like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Wait a second.
Yeah, but then
what
remember
do I do
when,
with that?
But remember when Judas snuck up behind him and grabbed him by the head?
No, that was actually Pontius Pilate.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Pardon Air me. Force guy, Pontius Pilate.
Right. Air Force guy. Absolutely. yeah. Anyway.
Classic Air Force. All the time. You just hate
Wait,
to
so
see it.
Who moves on to the next round?
I mean, I think Ponytail takes it, right? Just because of the complete ridiculousness of the topic. Yeah,
the old... I'm going to say, no, I'm going Kuwait, because the Kuwait commenters are younger, and they're clearly a lot of them are still active duty, and they should just be better. Just hold it deep inside, pal.
I disagree there, because I feel like when you're younger, you have more of an excuse to be ignorant. I think the fact that it's usually 50 and 60 year old men that are complaining about what's going on in uniform, one that they haven't worn in like 30 years, that might be the biggest gatekeeping of all time. You're super concerned.
That's a good point. I go back and look at my Facebook post from when I was in. I would have been right there. Oh, Kuwait. Okay. Well, when I was on, I've been Marja. And yeah, no. So we'll go Ponytails. Those are the worst ones for this week.
Mine was the other way, Kate. Like I went, whenever I came back from deployment, I tried to be super, everybody is going to respect what I said, Marine. And so I would comment like, why are you guys judging about other people's medals and stuff like that? They just did what the government asked them to do, what the Marine Corps asked them to do. Don't look down on somebody else because they don't have a bunch of medals. And the comments were like, oh, it's easy for you to say when you have them. Like, that's easy for you to say. I'm like, well, I did it. And I was no worse of a Marine then.
I didn't comment anything, thank God. But I remember towards the end of my first tour, I got to go to an MWR, the computer lab, and get on Facebook for the first time in a while. And this girl I had gone to high school with.
Of the 90210 reboot.
A lot of busy people in there. Yeah. People desperate to talk to their families, but you're in there like, hold on, hogging a computer watching.
People absolutely battling the devil on their shoulder just to point up a porn site just for 10 minutes just to see something new.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. She was in Dubai on a yacht drinking champagne, talking about how hot it was in the Middle East. And I wanted to be like, oh, is it hot where you are in Dubai on your yacht? Like, and I
felt, you ever sat in a porta potty in Fallujah 2 days after you got shot? You ever done
you that? Ever have your flaps absolutely plastered in military grade toilet paper?
You ever walked through the desert for so long that you feel like you got all kinds of sandpaper just cruising in between the old legs?
So I get the Kuwait commenters. I get it. So anyway.
I got sand fleas in my ovaries.
Yeah.
My TV just went off my monitor. I can't see anything.
That's for the best. Sand fleas in my ovaries. As they say.
My word.
This really went off the rails.
Yeah, it did. Have you guys seen that deworming thing that's been taken over TikTok?
Stop.
No.
Stop. No, we're not.
Like you go and you can get deworming. Apparently everybody has worms inside of them.
I don't believe that to be true.
This has been a really rough week and I don't need it.
If you go on TikTok,
liar.
No, there's people and they said that if you take these deworming pills, you can feel them like crawling around inside your butt crack. It's I think I might actually do it live stream it this weekend and see what's going on there. But before we do that, we're going to move into save rounds and alibis. I already introduced this, right? Like 10 minutes ago. Okay, good. So I already did the ad read there. My save round, I'm going to go first this week. I want everybody there, all of our listeners, because I looked up some of the charts. We were the number 2 overall government podcast in Canada for this past week. So if we have new Canadian listeners, I want to give them a little bit of a heads up, because there's a horrifying number of syphilis infections that are happening in Alberta right now. It's the highest rate of syphilis since the 1940s before antibiotics.
What's wrong with you?
What do you mean? It's a safety brief.
Okay.
It's a safety brief.
He's updating the safety brief. Yeah, all right. I gotta let him go.
If you're going out there and you're doing shit out in Alberta, just know that there's syphilis out there. Despite advances in healthcare, the number of syphilis infections is skyrocketing across Alberta, reaches in the highest level in 70 years. It's exploded since 2017, where only 17 cases were reported. And right now, there's currently 2,509 cases of syphilis in Alberta. So if you're going out there and you're licking or you're sticking, you better wear a condom, because you don't want that syphilis floating about in your urethra. Guarantee you that.
Thank you for that, Staff Sergeant. Mm-hmm.
Nick, what do you got?
Yeah, so my safe round is, as of Monday, I'll be full-time at Barstool. So
yeah.
It's a big one for me. So I'll be in the office instead of my closet underneath the stairs. So I'm looking forward to that. Got to say goodbye to Nona. She's not going to know that I left, but you know, it's all good.
She'll still be on fire watch.
Yeah, yeah. Until you know, I told her, until you go, and you're 90, so I don't know how much longer.
Whatever, if she keeps up this attitude that she's been displaying, you've been talking about, you might need to put her on a roving patrol.
My daughter learned some bad words the other day, and I held her accountable.
In Italian?
No, she only knows oh shit, and that's what my daughter said in the car.
Oh yeah, you sent that video. Yeah.
She's like, I was like, what?
See, Nick,
you
got to cultivate that. That's how you have the next McCartney. You got to cultivate that swearing. So that's a natural thing.
Yeah. Right. She was doing the yarn and she fucked up and she was like, oh shit. And I was like, that's where she got it from. You. Firewatch forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I love Nona.
We need to get Nona a logbook.
Yeah. So
we just start we do. Like, but,
yeah. We'll have her on the pod. She'll stare for an hour and a half like me.
Love it. Great. Cons.
Chaps, I guess you were on two other shows this week. You're in Token CEO and Out and About. So if you're listening, go check that out. I made an appearance on Podfathers. So that was fun hanging out with those fine gentlemen. I guess just anybody who's new, thanks for joining us. And hopefully we can keep your attention and keep you entertained. And we promise it's not always terrible.
This was much more like our normal show.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So that's all I got.
But don't let that scare you off.
We're gonna really dive into this whole worms thing.
For me, I was like, man, how can we go and do a regular wacky show again after like everything? Because again, like I'm consumed by it. I sit on my phone now. I type in keywords, Taliban, blah blah, and I just can't stop following what's going on. I see the awful thing, and I spiral. If you can ask Pat, like I've been having like a really, really difficult time with this. And not to even to make it about me. It's like, I know I'm fine. It's just, I'm so heartbroken for these people that that I'm trying to process it and compartmentalize things.
You're not in physical danger, but like emotionally you're still affected.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I have it clearly. I don't have it.
Yeah. I don't think anybody thought that.
Okay. But, we have all these new listeners and everything. I just saw ZBT was mentioned on the New York Times, The Daily today.
What?
So one of the biggest podcasts on the planet. And so, but I think also it helps the other night to give my brain a break. I went on TikTok and I just typed fart in the search bar and I needed that just to shut my brain off. And I was like, what's the stupidest thing?
The fact that you didn't share this with me is just a violation of our friendship, the likes of which have never been seen.
Yeah. So it feels kind of strange to not be talking all about Afghanistan right now because it's all this, but also if you're like me, because I've been getting so many messages from other veterans who are really having a legit, very hard time with this. You are so not alone. It is okay to go type fart in a search bar, to listen to an episode of ZBT where Chaps talks about butt worms or to whatever. Because I was starting to feel, I was like, I'm feeling guilty that we weren't going to focus all on it. This is an absolute mind fuck. Give yourself a little bit of grace and give yourself a little bit of a break. Put your phone down. I left my phone in the other room last night and made myself not bring it into bed with me so that I could sleep because I haven't been sleeping. I've been like, you know, getting real Charlie Kelly on everybody. So give yourself a little bit of grace. There's a ton of resources out there for you. And also if you are, cause I'm also getting a lot of, hey, I'm trying to track down my interpreter. I had a guy from 2-9 reach out to me who I serve with in Marja, who's in contact with this interpreter. What do I do? Who do I talk to? No one left behind at noonelift.org, noonelift.org. They are an incredible resource for years and years now. They have been fighting to ensure they were way ahead of the curve on this and struggling against the bureaucracy, but they have all sorts of great, because veterans online now are all linking up and sharing their resources and information. I saw on Facebook today, a guy, one of the writers for Duffelblog is like, I have a friend who works with airports all over Afghanistan. If you need people who can get out, he's offering free flights for blah, blah, blah. Like there's all sorts of resources that are piling together now to help people get out of there. And it's just been incredible to see noonelift.org. Check them out if you're in that boat. And again, so many beautiful images of people going above and beyond coming out of this that just a reminder that there's so much good in the world is also needed. So anyways, that's rambling again, but
no, you're good. Yeah. And I have one more announcement that I want to make. And everybody that's listening, that's on active duty, this is primarily for you. One of the things that we've noticed in the last couple of times that we've done something like this is the ability of this platform, because of Barstool and how large it is our ability to impact certain things that are going on and bringing awareness to it. If you're in a unit where something is fucked up that is happening, if you are hearing about somebody getting charged for something that you feel is good, or just the basic injustice that's happening in your units, please reach out to us. It's something that we want to help with. I told the ZBT squad the other day, this situation is the first time in a long time, probably the first time since I got out, that I really hated not wearing the uniform, not being on active duty and not going in and not helping. We want to help you in any way we can. A lot of you guys have your hands tied behind your back because you still are subject to the UCMJ and subject to things like that. I promise you, you give us a tip, we will never reveal who it was.
A big one is living conditions. Somebody sent me moldy barracks and stuff like that. Like, well, give us the info and we'll look into it.
And when we do something like that, this is all like you guys coming in and helping and tagging and seeing all those different things. It really amplifies it. PAOs have to respond when there is a huge social media outcry. Mm-hmm. If you want something to go to a general when it's not normally going to a general or not getting to that level, we can make that happen for you. But reach out to us. We want to help in any way we can. That's all I'll say about that. Looking forward to seeing you guys. Have a good weekend. Try to take some time to yourself. The world is a bad place, but there's more good people in it than bad. Don't forget that. There's going to be there's catastrophic things happening for sure. And we have to be better people to ensure that we are doing everything that we can to limit those actions. Good people will drown out the bad people eventually. That's a ZBT guarantee. Sound the retreat.